certainly good to be with you this evening. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. Tonight we are going to begin our study of 2 Peter. It's good to be with you tonight. It's always a pleasure when God's people have the opportunity to come to worship God, to open His holy Word. This is what God's people do. This should never get old. This should be something that we are always looking forward to do. We're going to be spending a few weeks in the book of 2 Peter on Sunday nights. We have finished studying 1 Peter chapter 1, and we now want to direct our thoughts to the book of 2 Peter. I want to encourage you to spend a little time reading the book of 2 Peter. God's people should get into the habit of studying God's Word daily, and it always helps if you will do a little study, if you will read ahead, whether we are studying a particular book in a Bible class or looking at a book on Sunday nights or even on Sunday morning like we're studying the Sermon on the Mount. I would encourage you to spend some time and read those different sections, those different books, because it will help you in our study. It's impossible to mention everything about every verse that we study, but we are certainly highlighting things and looking at things that will help us spiritually speaking. You'll notice the book of 2 Peter is shorter, but the book of 2 Peter is a very practical book. If you were to consider the overall theme of the book of 2 Peter, it would have to do with spiritual growth. And that's why I like the book of 2 Peter. It emphasizes spiritual growth. And as God's children, we need to be growing spiritually. If we were to outline this book, this three-chapter book, we could outline it along this fashion. Chapter 1, spiritual growth defined. Chapter 2, the challenge to spiritual growth. And then in chapter 3, we see incentives for spiritual growth. But in every chapter, you will see that the focus is on spiritual growth. When Jesus gave the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, He followed up with this saying, and teach them also. That is, after you teach and help people to become a Christian, you continue to teach them what Jesus reveals in His holy word. We should be about teaching. We need to teach people how to become a Christian, but once they become a Christian, we need to continue to teach them. And that's why when you look at Matthew's account of the Great Commission, it's twofold. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then continuing to teach them all things. Again, that has to do with spiritual growth. And so once a person becomes a Christian, it's important that you continue to teach them so that they will continue to grow. And as Christians, we should never stop growing. It doesn't matter how long we've been in the faith, there's always room for spiritual growth. You'll notice how the Apostle Peter ends this second epistle of chapter 3, verse number 18. We are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how He ends the book, but that's how He also begins the book. And we're going to see essentially the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Paul is going to mention grace, peace, and knowledge. That's what this book is all about the grace of God, the peace of God, the knowledge that we gain from a study of God's Word. And so I want to encourage you, as Peter is encouraging all of us, to grow spiritually speaking. And as you think about spiritual growth, we realize that the Apostle Peter himself serves as an example of spiritual growth. We can learn a lot by looking at Paul's life, and Scripture reveals quite a bit about Paul's life. I would say, though, Scripture probably reveals a little bit more about Peter's life. We see Peter's occupation before he became a follower of Christ. We see how Peter conducted himself with Christ while Christ was here on this earth. We see some of the things that he said. We see some of the mistakes that he made. But then when we turn to the book of 1 and 2 Peter, we really see how much Peter had grown as a Christian. And one of the things that really reminds me about Peter's spiritual growth is the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1. Simon Peter. I want you to notice how Peter begins this epistle. Simon Peter. When we think about Simon, we think about his earlier days while with Christ. When we think about the Apostle Peter, though, we think about Peter being a spiritual rock in the kingdom of God. From a pebble to a rock. Peter became a rock in the Lord's church. And we can measure, if you please, Peter's spiritual growth by looking at 1 Peter chapter 5. We see that the Apostle Peter not only was an apostle, but he was also an elder in the Lord's church. Oh, Peter was a pebble, but he became a rock. And through the trials that he faced and through the Lord's teaching, he challenged himself to grow. You see, there's a difference between Judas and Peter. And you can go back and look at Scripture and you can look at how Judas lived his life. You can see the kind of heart Judas had that allowed Satan to work his evil schemes. The difference between Judas and Peter was Peter had a different kind of heart. Peter made mistakes, but the Apostle Peter owned up to it. The Apostle Peter repented. And the Apostle Peter grew from the mistakes that he made. And again, I believe we see this when we think about Peter's name, Simon Peter. When you go back to the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, God would often change a person's name. Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah. You see the same thing with Saul to the Apostle Paul, Simon to Peter. Another interesting thing that you see in Scripture about a person's name is there are three times in Scripture where God will repeat a person's name. And you think about those contexts where God repeats that person's name, there's really an interesting event that surrounds that setting, if you please. For example, in Luke chapter 10, 41 through 42, you remember the first time where God will repeat a person's name? Martha, Martha. Thou art cumbered about with many things, but this one thing is needful. And your sister Mary had chosen that part. What did Mary choose to do? To sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear and to receive His teaching. Oh, what Martha was doing, showing hospitality, was a good thing. But Martha needed to learn how to prioritize. You see, there's a time where we need to stop serving, and there's a time where we need to start listening to the teaching of Jesus Christ. And Mary demonstrated that. And so the first time where you see God repeating somebody's name is there in Luke chapter 10. Martha, Martha. Another example would be Acts chapter 9, verse 6. We mentioned his name already, but Saul of Tarsus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And so you look at these different contexts, and there's an interesting context that surrounds that event where God called that person by name twice. The third example, going back to the book of Luke, is in Luke 22, verse 31. It has to do with who we're talking about tonight, Simon Peter. But you remember in Luke 22, verse 31, Jesus told Simon, 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 Satan desires to have you. And so we learn a lot about how God uses a person's name, how He changes a name. Well, here we think about the Apostle Peter, and when we think about Simon Peter, it says a lot about who Peter was, and it says a lot about his spiritual growth. Peter grew as a Christian. And we appreciate that. And we're thankful that we can turn back to Scripture and we can see His spiritual growth. We see His that He prospered spiritually speaking. But now Peter's encouraging other Christians to grow. And that's what we're emphasizing from the book of 2 Peter. Peter grew himself, but he's also encouraging other Christians to grow spiritually speaking. Jesus said in John 15, verse number 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." I like talking about that subject of bearing fruit, and really bearing fruit speaks of the totality of the Christian life. It speaks of evangelism, but it also speaks of spiritual growth. Paul talks about bearing fruit with the brethren at Colossae in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9. And Paul was praying for the brethren. And as you go to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, you can see what Paul prayed for. Paul prayed that they would be filled with a knowledge of God's will, that they would have wisdom and spiritual understanding. In verse number 10, that they would walk worthy of God's calling. Also in verse 10, that you would be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. But you'll notice as Paul is talking about fruit bearing, he's talking about bringing forth the product of right living that comes through spiritual growth. And so when Jesus said, "Here is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit," there's a process that goes along with bringing forth fruit unto God. Everybody is producing fruit, but not everybody is bringing forth fruit unto God. In Romans chapter 6, 17 down through verse 21, particularly verse number 20 and verse 21, we see as Paul is speaking to those Christians, he asked them a question about their past before they obeyed the gospel. And he said, "What fruit had you in those things whereof you are now ashamed?" He says, "For the end of those things is death." Paul wants them to be mindful of the way that they lived. They were bringing forth fruit again, but they weren't bringing forth fruit unto God. They were bringing forth fruit unto themselves. They were bringing forth corrupt fruit, evil fruit, rotten fruit by the way that they lived their lives. But if we're going to be like Peter, we're going to be like Paul, if we're going to be like our first century brethren, if we're going to bring forth the product of right living, fruit unto God, we must challenge ourselves to grow spiritually speaking, to grow in God's grace, to grow in God's knowledge. There's a reason why the Scripture puts so much emphasis on spiritual growth. Spiritually speaking, we can become stagnant. We can become lukewarm. God doesn't want us to become stagnant. He doesn't want us to become lukewarm. In Romans 12, verse number 11, we are to be fervent in spirit. When you do a word study on that word fervent, it literally means that we're to be on fire for the Lord. We're to be excited about who we are as the followers of Jesus Christ. We need to be excited about our spiritual progress, because as we grow, again, we're bringing forth fruit unto God. We are fulfilling our purpose here on this earth. Jesus said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God wants our lives to be fruitful. God wants us, again, to bear fruit unto Him. He wants us to be about good works. But as we think about those good works which glorify God, we understand that good works are good works by, number one, definition, and number two, by location. We have to be in Christ, and we have to understand God's will in order to know what to do, how to live, to bring Him glory. Again, spiritual growth. And so wherever we are spiritually speaking, no matter how long we've been a Christian, we need to challenge ourselves like Peter is challenging these Christians. And he's essentially challenging us to continue to grow. And you know what the beauty of spiritual growth is? The more I grow spiritually speaking, the closer and closer I get to the Lord. Sometimes as you talk to Christians, they feel like they are distant from God, that they don't really have a close relationship with God. Perhaps you talk to people that have said that. Maybe members of the church. They've been members of the church for 15, 20 years, but they really feel like they have no relationship with God. And as you begin to talk to those individuals and you learn a little bit more about their life, you usually learn these two things. Number one, these individuals don't spend much time in prayer. And number two, they spend very little time in the Word of God. You know, studying God's Word and prayer really go hand in hand. As the apostles would say in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. If we're going to grow, we need to pray. We need to learn how to pray. We need to learn to pray more fervently. The affectional, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God's ears, as we learned in 1 Peter 3, verse number 12, are open unto our prayers. And so when we develop a prayer life, I promise you, when you talk to God, it'll bring you closer to the Lord. When you turn to His Word, He's going to communicate with you and you're going to grow closer to the Lord. And the reason why I'm highlighting prayer and a study of God's Word, prayer is how we communicate to God. His Word is how He communicates to us. In order for there to be a healthy relationship, there has to be good communication. That is true between spouses. That is true with parents and their children. That is true when it comes to having a good relationship with our neighbor, with those at work. There has to be good communication. I remember when I worked at the co-op, they always emphasized communication. They always emphasized how we need to talk with each other, work things out, keep people informed. That's common sense. But do you realize those same principles apply spiritually speaking? Again, if we're going to have a relationship with God, there has to be good communication. I communicate to God in prayer, and God communicates to me when I open and study His Word. Because what we have here is the mind of God. And that's what makes Scripture so powerful and so valuable. We are looking into the very mind of God. And so while Peter is the penman, while God was using Peter to write down these words, these are God's words, and that's what makes God's Word so profitable, powerful, and important. And God's Word can help me. It can help any person who has that sincere desire, like Peter, to grow spiritually speaking. But as I said, as Peter writes this letter, Peter is interested in helping others grow. And I want to show you this from chapter 1 as we kind of begin looking at chapter 1. Let me show you exactly what I'm talking about. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to begin at verse number 10. I'm going to highlight two or three scriptures to emphasize this point. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, perhaps I said 1 Peter, my bad. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Some translations, you shall never stumble. I want you to underscore, maybe underline that phrase in your minds, in your Bibles. Again, if you do these things. Peter's going to mention this three times. If you do these things, you'll see that in verse number 10. Drop down to verse number 12. Peter says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance, here it is again, of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Do you realize that as we open up God's Word tonight, as we turn to the book of 2 Peter, I imagine everybody in here probably has already studied the book of 2 Peter. Maybe that could be said about every book of the Bible. But it doesn't matter if you've read through the book of 2 Peter 20 times. To read it through it one more time is not going to hurt you. It's going to be profitable. And that's exactly what Peter is saying. Listen, I'm going to put you into remembrance of these things we're fixing to talk about, what those things are, though you already know them, though you've already been established in these things, I'm going to remind you again. Peter is all about spiritual growth. And we see that in verse 10 and verse number 12. I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things. It's a proven fact, by the way. There are three rules to learning. Three things that we must do in order to learn. Number one, repetition. We need to continue to go over the things that we've already learned. Number one, repetition. Don't miss the second one. Number two, repetition. We need to continue. You got this, Hannah, right? We need to continue. You'll do much better in college, I promise you, with these three rules. Anybody will. Number two, repetition. You continue to go over what you already know. That's what Peter is saying. But listen to the third rule, because it will get you sometimes. Repetition. And that's exactly what the Apostle Peter is doing right here. He's repeating himself. Remember, he's being inspired by the Holy Spirit. God is telling Peter to repeat himself. You know why? Because we need to be reminded of what is important spiritually speaking. God wants us to grow. We need to hear that more than once. We need to hear that throughout our lives, because the Spirit indeed is willing, Matthew 26, verse 41, but the flesh is weak. You know, it's easy to grow weary in well-doing, Galatians 6, verse number 9. It's easy to throw in the spiritual towel, to stop studying, to stop growing, to stop praying, to become stagnant, to become lukewarm. And so we have to challenge ourselves. And one of the ways that we challenge ourselves to grow spiritually speaking is to continually look into God's Word, like Peter is encouraging us to do. Peter says, I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things, though you already know them. You know, I believe the Apostle Paul does the same thing. I was trying to think about this as I was mentioning this just a few minutes ago. And I believe in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul does the same thing as he writes to the brethren at Philippi. In Philippians 3, verse 1, Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now listen to what he says. To write the same things to you, to me, is not grievous. It's not a burden, but for you, he says, it's safe. You see what Paul is saying? This is for your own good. This is for your own safety. To mention the things that I've already mentioned before. And Peter, an apostle of Christ, is doing the same thing. Verse 10, verse number 12, but drop down now to verse number 15. Peter says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have, here's that phrase again, these things always in remembrance. Whatever these things were, Paul was wanting them to be mindful of them even after he passed on from this life. And so that phrase, these things, is essentially important to Peter's epistle. Well, what are these things? Well, when we work our way back, we see Peter talks about the Christian virtues. We'll be talking about these beginning at verse 5, going down to verse number 10. But in verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Peter talks about the great salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. He wants them to remember the salvation, not to lose sight of the salvation that they had in Christ Jesus. As the writer of Hebrews would say in Hebrews 2, 1 through 3, not to neglect your salvation. How do we neglect our salvation? We stop growing. We stop praying. We stop studying. We stop doing. We stop working. We stop worshiping. Oh, the list can go on. We can stop doing what we know to be right. And so again, God encourages us by reminding us of the importance of not neglecting our salvation. And of all the things the Apostle Peter could have said, he talks about that salvation. Again, 1 through 4. Beginning at verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained a like precious faith, listen to it, with us. I like that phrase. Peter is writing Christians. Peter, as he speaks to these Christians, he says, you have a faith just like us. The us is speaking of the apostles. Peter, Paul, the other apostles. And it was a common faith, a like precious faith that was achieved through the gospel, as we will see at the end of verse 1, the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I like about Peter's statement here, a like precious faith, again, there are no first class citizens in God's kingdom. There are no second class citizens in God's kingdom. We are all, as Paul would say in Galatians 3, verse 28, we are all one in Christ. Whether we're Jew or Gentile, whether we're male or female, we are all one in Christ. At the foot of the cross, we are equal. I'm not greater than you. You're not greater than me. And so as we think about the like precious faith, what makes it precious is it's the same for everybody. What Christ did at the cross is for everyone. Salvation is common. That's why Jude talks about the common salvation. Salvation is not different for you, different for me. Again, it's the same. A like precious faith. Now listen to it. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The gospel is the avenue used to produce this light, precious faith. And that's important to understand. Again, through the gospel, we can obtain a light, precious faith. You know, when you tie this into Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, the Apostle Paul says there is one Lord, there is one faith. That faith is the gospel. Paul says there is one system of faith. There is one body of teaching. There is one doctrine. In 2 John 9 through 11, the Apostle John would say, if any abide not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. He hath not the Father. He doesn't have the Son. If any man come to you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, John says, don't even receive that person in your home. The point is, don't extend him fellowship. Don't give him Godspeed. There is only one body, one doctrine. And through that doctrine, through the gospel, we can obtain a like precious faith. Verse 1 speaks of unity. And God wants unity. And the only way there can be unity is through the Word of God. Go back, if you would, to John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, you remember here Jesus prays for unity. He prayed for the apostles. He would pray for others who would come after the apostles. And here in John chapter 20, I want to pick up around verse number, John chapter 17. John chapter 17, beginning around verse number 20. Jesus says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me, listen to this, through their word. Through their word. Through the words of the apostles. Remember, they would be guided into all truth. Going back to John chapter 16, verse number 13, the apostles were revealing that body of truth that Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 1. That they would all, again, believe on me through their word. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Again, what God wants more than anything is for there to be unity among His people. But what we see in John chapter 17 is if there's going to be unity, a like precious faith, a common salvation, there has to be one body of teaching. There has to be truth in order for there to be unity. Let me show you another example, if you would. Turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse number 10. Paul is pleading with the brethren at Corinth because they were divided, and it wasn't a good thing for the congregation. The congregation there at Corinth had disrupted the unity because they were following different teachings. They were following different people. And Paul says, you stop that. But I want you to consider some of the things that Paul says, and I want to ask a question. Now I beseech you, 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, now watch it, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Think about what Paul is saying. How can we speak the same thing? How can we be of the same mind? How can we be of the same judgment without the truth of God's Word? So essentially what we're saying when it comes to the truth, you remember John 8 verse 32? Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth. The truth will set you free." When it comes to the truth of God's Word, His truth is objective. You know, if you're going to start studying with people, if you're going to help people see the truth that produces a like precious faith, that's a good place to start. We have the truth. And the truth is the same for me as it is for you, as it is for everybody in the world. That's what Peter taught. That's what Paul taught. That's what Jesus taught. That they all may be one through their word. Peter, as he is encouraging Christians to grow, he reminds them of their salvation. He reminds them of the light, precious faith that was obtained, now you'll notice how Peter says this, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you write in your Bibles, if you take notes, you may want to underline that phrase, the righteousness of God, and write down Romans 1, 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein," verse number 17, "is the righteousness of God revealed." It's the same phrase that Peter uses right here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. That the righteousness of God is speaking about God's plan of righteousness, which is revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's through the gospel, which is God's power unto salvation, that we can obtain a like precious faith, that you and I could be of the same mind, that you and I could speak the same thing, that you and I could be of the same judgment. You see, there is one way. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way and the truth." There is one plan of salvation. There is one church that we read about in the Scriptures that the truth of God's Word reveals. And again, dear friends, that is the only way that we can obtain a light, precious faith. The only way that our salvation can be common is if we follow the same pattern, if we follow the same Word, the truth of God's Word. And so, as Peter encourages these Christians to grow, he reminds them about their salvation. He wants them to remember this great salvation, this like precious faith that they obtained through Jesus Christ. And then as you begin looking at verse 2 through verse 4, Peter is going to remind them of something else. He's going to remind them of the resources that they have in Christ Jesus. The resources or the riches that they have in Christ Jesus. You'll notice in verse number 2, Peter mentions grace and peace. And we've talked a lot about God's grace and God's peace. And if we're going to grow, we need God's grace and we need His continued peace. We need God to be gracious to us because we understand at times we stumble. We understand that we're weak and that we're not perfect. And we need God to be gracious toward us. And because of God's grace, there's peace. But Peter mentions something here that nobody else mentions, and I again believe it's significant, and it really emphasizes the riches of salvation. Notice what Peter says: grace and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace can be multiplied. It can be increased, but notice how. Verse number 2, again Peter says, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. As I said, Peter ends this epistle where he begins. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you see why God wants us to grow? Because when we grow in a better understanding of God's Word, grace and peace are multiplied. And that's a good thing. Again, I need God's grace. At the end, Peter says, you grow in grace. How do you grow in grace? Good question. By growing in a deeper appreciation of what God has done for us. By growing in a deeper appreciation of the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. Don't forget what Peter is doing. He's putting them in mind of these things, stirring them up by remembrance. What is he reminding them of? Of the sweet salvation that they have in Christ Jesus. And as they stop and as they think about that salvation, Peter wants them to know that they can continue to grow in grace and in peace. He continues to talk about those resources in verse number 3. According as His divine power. I like that phrase. According to His divine power. In other words, Peter says we have an eternal energy source. We have an eternal energy source according to His divine power. I like talking about God's power. In Ephesians 1 verse 19, Paul puts the brethren in mind of that power. And by the way, there in Ephesians chapter 1, you know what Paul says about God's divine power? That divine power raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And then in chapter 2, you know what Paul talks about? That same power that raised Jesus from the dead, Ephesians 2 verse 6, raises us from the deadness of sin. God can take somebody who is dead in sin and make them alive through His divine power. And we experience that divine power initially when we obey the gospel, which is God's power, Romans 1 verse 16, unto salvation. You can take a word like power and you can just look at different verses and you can put a whole lesson together. We have an eternal energy source. We have divine power. And according to His divine power, Peter says, God has given us not just some things. God has given us, listen to what he says, all things that pertain to life, eternal life, and godliness. Remember, what a dead man needs the most is life. And we have eternal life, 1 John 5, verse number 11, through Jesus Christ. And it's according to His divine power that God has given us eternal life by raising Jesus from the dead and by raising us from the deadness of sin when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's also, by his divine power, verse number 3, given us all things pertaining to godliness. Life is speaking of eternal life. Godliness, though, however, is speaking of the Christian life. Everything that we need to know about how to become a Christian and how to live as a Christian has all been revealed by His divine power. Here it is again in verse number 3, underline it, through knowledge. Grace and peace are multiplied through knowledge. God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through knowledge, spiritual growth. As I said, what God wants more than anything is for every Christian to grow. And we have the resources. We have everything that we need to grow. So the question I want to leave you tonight is, we end our study, are you growing? If not, why not? God's done everything. God has given us, again, all of the resources that we need in order to grow in such a way to glorify Him. There's really no excuse not to be growing as a Christian. If we're not growing, let's ask God to forgive us of that. Let's make things right with Him. And let's start growing. Let's turn to God's Word. Let's be serious about our eternal salvation. Because that's what's at stake. That's what we're talking about. Eternal salvation. So the question that, again, I want you to consider as we close tonight, are you growing? We see what God wants. God wants us to grow. Let's be sure that we're doing our part. God's going to do His part. I guarantee you that. I promise you that. Let's be sure we do our part. Let's grow. Let's be the people that God wants us to be. Because when we're growing, we become useful to Him. Just like Peter. You know why the Lord was able to use Peter so much in the kingdom? Because Peter was growing. I promise you. You grow as a Christian, I promise you, God will use you. And God can use you. And we need to be used, because the Lord's work is the greatest work. Jesus said the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth more laborers into His vineyard. We need more workers. We need more preachers. We need more godly women. There is so much to do in God's kingdom. But if we're going to be busy, if we're going to be faithful, we have to be growing as a Christian. And again, are you growing? If you're not growing, I hope tonight you will make that change. It might be that you need the church to pray on your behalf. We're here for you. We're here for one another. We are a family. And we need to be concerned with one another's spiritual well-being. And so tonight, as we close out our lesson, we want to offer the Lord's invitation. God is inviting you. God is inviting me. He's there to help us. He loves us. He wants us to do good. He wants us to live right. And so tonight, if we can help you in any way, grow spiritually speaking, won't you come right now as we stand and as we sing.